something, and all of a sudden, you say, it's a familiar passage. You say, I have never seen that before, never. You know what I'm saying? Dale Howard used to always say, it was like the Word of God's like diamonds, like a sharply cut diamond, you know, where it just reflects different. Every time you look at it, it says something new. It says something invigorating, says something new to us. Well, so we're reading this passage. I'm reading, you know, reading it, and I'm thinking, I have never in my life seen this. What in the world does it mean? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I never saw that. I never saw that some doubted. Never. Did y'all catch that? You're waiting for me to say go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So the 11 are there, and some doubted. Now start thinking about that just for a second. These are the fellows that were with Jesus his entire ministry, 3 years. Now, there were probably others there. There were probably a crowd. But Matthew is very careful to point out the 11. And so as I started to try to get my head around this, as I started to try and think this through, what do you mean by that, Lord? What does that mean? Doubters. What in the world? The 11. Some of them doubted. It's right there. Bold. I think Matthew has a purpose in putting that in, making sure that those words were installed right at this point. And we're going to explore that for just a few minutes. Now, what is doubt? So I looked it up, as Father Scott always loves to do, look it up. And I found out that doubt can mean two things. It can be a verb or it can be a noun. So as a verb, it can mean to be undecided or skeptical about something. Begin to doubt some accepted doctrines, for example. To tend to disbelieve or distrust. This is as a verb. To regard as unlikely. Okay, install those words as a verb, because this is used as a verb, into this go passage. And it rocks my world to think that some of these guys doubted. Okay? The reason I believe it's so important for Matthew to put this in is because they're the leaders. They're the ones with the knowledge. They're the ones that have been with Jesus right from the beginning. They're the ones that have heard his ministry, heard his teachings. But yet, there may have been some skepticism. There may have been some disbelief. They may have regarded some things as unlikely. And I began to think about that, and I kept saying, why? Lord, why put that in there? Why would you put that there? And I think there's a real, real good explanation for that. Doubt is a status between belief and disbelief. It involves uncertainty or distrust, a lack of sureness of an alleged fact. Doubt brings into question some notion of perceived reality that may involve delaying or rejecting relevant action out of concerns for mistakes or faults or appropriateness. Some definitions of doubt emphasize the state in which the mind remains suspended between two contradictory propositions and unable to assent to either of them. I'm sorry. The concept of doubt covers a range of phenomena. One can characterize both deliberate questioning of uncertainties and an emotional state of indecision as doubt. As soon as he puts this in there, though, he says this. This is what Matthew says. Now, I know you're probably going, where is he going with this? He says, then Jesus came and said to them, who'd he come to? He came to the doubters. He came to his disciples who doubted. He came to them. And he said this, hey, fellas, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now go and tell others, because in my authority you go. But don't go in your authority, because let me tell you, you'll go nowhere. But if you go in my authority, you can go and make disciples. That's why the doubters are there. You know why? Because the doubters are me and you. Listen, we live in a world of media where everything that comes at us in the medium says doubt. Just think about it. In the newspaper today, Social Security is going to run out. So we doubt if it's going to be there for us. The economy's a wreck. We doubt it's going to be there. Cars are being recalled. When's our car going to blow up or not break? We doubt if our cars are even, if they're even working. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just doubt in the media. There's stabbings and killings and people are shot all over town. And while these are horrible, they create in our minds doubt. I'll give you an example, real clear example. If you're a little older like me, and I'm just a little bit older, when I was a kid, we left the car doors open. We left our house open at night, right? Would anybody do that today? My gosh, we're locking our cars as soon as we step out of it. Boom, boom, make sure it goes beep. Ronk, or whatever it does, right? We lock our doors up at night, put the bolts on them, bolt it, strap the thing on there. Nobody's getting in this place. You're checking the door, right? Am I right? The garage door shut. You've got to make sure nobody can get in your house. Why? Because you doubt your safety. Some doubt it. But Paul, I'm going to take us over to Paul, who I think explains maybe better than, I think in this passage in Colossians, explains this issue better than anybody. We talked about baptism today. There was a baptismal reading in Romans, which kind of fits right with this, because Paul really got it. He's saying, I want you to go out and I want you to baptize people. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's more to it than that. And I want you to teach them everything that I've commanded you. Think about everything that Jesus commanded them to do. Love one another. Love God and love men. That's really the essence of his message. And let people know that they're forgiven. That's his message. That's his commands. Love one another, love God, love one another, tell people that they're forgiven. Tell them that God sent me to let them know they are forgiven. And if you're forgiven, you're free. Amen. You're at peace. There's peace now between God and man. Right? So let's go over to Colossians. This is like one of my very favorite passages of all time because it is so enlightening. When you're full of doubt, listen, when prayers aren't answered quickly, because we live in a microwave age, when our prayers aren't answered, when you didn't have a job and you don't know where the next meal's coming from, there's doubt that comes in. When prayers don't happen fast enough, there's doubt that comes in, right? When our children, things go wrong with our children, there's doubt that comes in. You know, we live in a society plagued with doubt. And so we are, in essence, the doubters. That's why it's there. Not to condemn us, but to say even the disciples had some doubts. Maybe about the authority. Maybe about what the mission was. Maybe about where were they going to go from here. Where are we going to go from here? Some people may even ask the question today. Some of you may say, where are we going to go from here? We got some nice property, but where are we going to go? When are we going to go? How are we going to get there? Right? It's time to relax. Because I can tell you that in our own strength, we're not going to go anywhere. Then we kind of demonstrate that for a while in our own strength. We struggle at JU. We try to figure out how to get out of there, what we're going to do. We bought the property. We got all excited about that. And then we struggle to get out of JU, right? And then God kind of opened this up, kind of as a halfway spot. But he didn't do it because we were trying. We had been trying and trying and trying. And I just about tell you that people just pretty much given up. We're just going to stay here at JU. And then we got challenged to say, we need to pray, so we'll ask the church to pray. We asked the church to pray on Sunday. On Monday, this place opened up. Amen. Well, right? Isn't that about the way it happened? As soon as we got out of the way of our doubt and our indecision, as soon as we got out of the way, God said, okay, I got a spot for you. You can go there. You can regroup. You can grow. You can have fusion. You can go. You can start to go again. And it's been interesting that that's kind of been the message all throughout Lent. And then through the Pentecost season, it's really been about us going out. Evangelism explosion's been a big part of what we're doing. So we're out talking to others. We're out sharing our faith. Just our faith. Not that we're charismatic Episcopalians, but just what God's done for us, right? But you're still doubters. So I'm going to tell you what baptism does for you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let Paul tell you. Paul, now, do you all think Paul, he's a pretty influential guy in the early church. He wrote 17 of the books that we read. That's more than four of the Gospels, right? 17, okay. Sometimes we find ourselves captured in loneliness, longing to be with people, hungering for friendships or contact with others. Sometimes we feel cut off from people, from our friends, our relatives. We get separated. We get doubtful if things are ever going to get better. So Paul writes these words, 2 Colossians, and you should write this down, because just this, you don't have to read it with me, but you just ought to write this down. 2 Colossians chapter 2 verses 6 through 15 I think are the most transformative words that Paul ever wrote. I'm going to read them to you, and I'm going to comment on them, and then we're going to be done, because Father David's already preached a great sermon this morning, so. And we sung about love. Just doesn't get better than that. So Paul says, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened by the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It's so important to be thankful. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Now, I will need to comment, because as a former Baptist, or as an evangelical, the evangelicals point to this and say, see, tradition is bad. That's what they say, it's not good, human tradition. But the church develops traditions and makes them holy. That's the difference. Theirs aren't based on human traditions. They're based on biblical traditions, right? Anyway, that's just a little parenthetical caveat. Now, here's where we're getting to. For in Christ, you have to listen real closely, because there are those of you who doubt, and most of us doubt who we are in Jesus Christ. But Paul's going to tell you. I'm just going to read it to you, okay? For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, okay? So Jesus is standing there. They're worshiping him. They're trying to get their heads around this, the apostles, the disciples. They're disciples at this point. And they're starting to really recognize. Remember, he kept it real quiet. He kept his ministry on the down low. Don't go tell people what I've just done. Don't run out there and tell people. So I'm sure there's some conflict within the minds of the disciples, the 11. When I say disciples, I'm really speaking about the 11. Even Thomas didn't miss this meeting. You kind of wonder, though, was he one of the ones that was doubting? Listen, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, the God the Father, the God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit, all the fullness lives in him. Okay? Now, that is not easy to get your head around, but all the God, the creator of the universe, the one who speaks and changes things immediately, the one who hurled the heavens, spoke the heavens into existence, into the expanse. His word is so creative that the heavens have not stopped expanding. That's all I'm saying. We just have found this out. But the heavens continue to expand because God's word is that powerful. He speaks, things happen. This is Jesus, okay? In him, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Okay, you got that? And you, say me, say me, say I. I have been given all the fullness in Christ. Say that. I have been given all the fullness in Christ. How much is all? Who lives in you? Jesus Christ lives in us. The fullness of the deity. The fullness of the deity. Who is the head over every power and authority? In him, you were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by hands, but with the circumcision done by Christ. It's the baptism, he goes on to tell us. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, you made yourself alive with Christ. No, that's not what it says. It says God made you alive to Christ. Amen. God makes us alive to him. He forgave us all our sins, all of them, every single one of them, even when we doubt, we're forgiven. Amen. Because I'm challenged by the fact that there are doubters, but I can assure you that I'm one of them. I'm certain of it. I'm so certain of it that I'm certain that you all are too.
That's right.
Sorry. Because, he goes on to say, having canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us, opposed to us, he took it away. Jesus Christ took it away. Everything that stood opposed to us, he takes it away. Nailing it to the cross. That's what the cross symbolizes for us. That's what that represents. When we walk in, when Craig carried the cross in. That represents the power of God. Amen. To remind us that the powers that stand against us were nailed to the cross. Right. Listen, we don't believe that because all the fullness of God lives in us. And he nailed the authorities and powers that stand against us to the cross. And then he says, having disarmed, he made them a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He disarmed the powers and authorities. He's cleared the way for us. He's disarmed the powers and authorities that stand against us. Maybe you think you've been chased around by demons. I can assure you that if you're being chased by a demon, that guy has no power or authority over your life, period. Amen. I didn't say that. Paul says it clearly, unmistakably. If you've been baptized, that's what he's saying. If you've been baptized, you haven't been circumcised. You've been circumcised with Jesus Christ. You've died, as the Romans passage says. You've died. You've died. But now, in Christ, you stand alive before God. Right. Yeah, you have doubts. Yeah, you have uncertainties. Our lives are filled with that. But God says, it's okay. Because you don't have to do it. I'm going to do it through you. You'll be my mouth. You'll be my hands. You'll be my eyes. You'll be my feet. Go into the world and preach the gospel. But don't, for goodness sakes, don't do it in your own strength. Because you're too weak. In you, you're weak. In him, we're strong. We're powerful. When things get rough, read this. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself that we're a victorious church. A church that may have gotten beat up and battered a little bit. That might be down, but we're not out. This is a victorious church, a church that lives, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, and not even because of who he is, because of what he's done. He came to this earth voluntarily, on his own, so that we might have life and have it abundantly. That's the good news. I never saw that. I never saw that doubters. I always thought doubters, you know, generally doubt makes you feel guilty. And guilty never is not a good emotion. Guilt is a bad emotion. It's not one that Jesus is even familiar with or even cares about. You know why? Because when you stand in his presence, in him, you're not guilty. He took your guilt. He took your fear. He's taken it all and nailed it to the cross. Disarmed the power. Listen, we live in a world that has a lot of problems. But there's good news in the gospel. And that is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. By the power of God, he rose. He was risen from the dead. There were disciples that doubted, that had some doubts. I think that's really the essence of what Matthew was trying to get across. They had some doubts. They didn't know where they were going. They weren't sure. But Jesus reassures them. And then Paul later on makes sure that we know exactly what this all authority is given to us. And you know why he wants us to go and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So that they too can understand the power of the gospel. That they too can realize and be, they realize that all the power, all the authority is given to Christ, that he's disarmed it for us. Is it out there? Yes. There are things against people all the time, but it cannot stand against you and me. Because all authority has been given to Jesus. and you and I are his disciples. Amen. Right? Amen. All we need to do is trust in that when things are tough. Believe that God has destroyed and once and for all disarmed the powers that stand against us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what I have for you today. We're victorious. We don't have to be defeated. Amen. Amen. Amen.